Well, welcome back. And again, I'm so thankful that you get to hear my master's voice in some ways. Not my master Jesus, but my former master and teacher, Barb Newman. She taught me so much. And in our years in children's ministry, which is where we're going to now turn our attention, is this idea of universal design as it is displayed in children and youth ministry. So we're going to think about that. But I actually worked for Barb in our children's ministry for many years, and that's where we first became colleagues as well. So let's talk about what does it mean now as we say universal design for children's and youth ministry context. So let's turn our attention there as a way of thinking about how you prepare your space, your time, your equipment, your people to expect children of all abilities to participate fully in this. So again, I want you to hear from Barb a little bit. She's going to talk about something called the Vineyard Docks, which is what our children's ministry was called. We were a part of a Vineyard Church, and we lived along the lakeshore, and so you'll just hear her use that phraseology, but that's actually where she and I first engaged in our ministry journey together, although she had more years of ministry experience on her belt by that point than I did. So again, just learn a little bit from her, and then I'll step back in and teach you some more things as well.
I was the children's ministry director in my own church for about 14 years when I was actually piloting materials we were using at Zealand Christian, turning them into church speak and church environment, and we experimented a whole bunch. But one of the things that I did was every summer the children would come in that first summer day. We gave our typical staff, the regular staff, sort of the summer off, and we brought in all of these volunteers that were just covering for the summer. And they were great, they were fun, but the kids were really confused, and the little ones would cry, like, what happened to all of my teachers, and why are we in a different room, and why are these big kids in here with us? And one of the things that we found out, or I tried, was to send home just a story with the kids. Summer at the Vineyard Docks. And I sent home, hey, summer is a time when we can do some things differently. Just sent home sort of an order, pictures of what we were going to do, the different rooms and the different people that they might see over the summer. And it was just amazing to watch the difference between the past summers and the summer that I started sending those home, because kids came in excited. They were ready. They knew what was going to happen. They knew who would be there. They knew what room we were going to be in, all because they had gotten some information ahead of time. So whether you're preparing for a youth group trip, an adult mission trip, a children's ministry change like summers, whatever that might be, might I suggest, think hotel preview. What am I looking for in that, and how can I offer that to people along the way? I think another thing in preparation is we need to remember that as we recruit volunteers, as we put people in place in children and youth programs, are they expecting children and youth of all abilities to be part of that setting? So part of universal design is connecting with those who are leaders, giving them some tools. How can we give them what they need so that they feel prepared when that youth group member walks in and might have a significant vision difference, or you may have a second grader with autism spectrum disorder, and they don't take this as a shock, but they take this as, oh, okay, so we have kids of varied abilities.
So what Barb was introducing is a little bit about social stories, and I want to talk about those a little bit as well, because I think those are extremely helpful in our children and youth settings in particular. They can be helpful for all ages and stages, so we could talk about that as well, sort of previews on your church website and some things like that. But when we're talking about children, right, she talked about those stories of how these so helped children in those transitions from one thing to the next. And so I want to share with you just a little bit about this, because if you think about it, right, if you're traveling, you might want to know what kind of a place you're going to spend the night in, right, if you're going to a hotel, and Barb kind of hinted at this. But what you might do is look it up online, right, kind of get some reviews, find out some things like, do they provide breakfast, is there internet, is there air conditioning, what do the beds look like, what's the shower like, that kind of a thing. You want to find out before you go, and that's the idea that we're talking about here. These social stories are a way of previewing what you're getting yourself into, the situation, the expectations, and the flow of activities. So That's what we're talking about here. And I want to show you one that I created for our Vineyard Church called My Communion Story. It's kind of this know before you go kind of information that's great for so many people. And it can be essential for some kids and those, especially with high anxiety, those who rely on routine, those who need to plan their food and their liquid intake based on their time and activities and the distance from a restroom or that kind of a thing. There may be many reasons, which is why this is a great example of universal design. So this one, I walked an individual through the process of going for communion because this church didn't do it every single week. It was only like once a month. And so we talked through and used real pictures of the individuals that they were going to interact with. And we said, first, this is what happens. And then next, this is what happens. And then this is what happens, and pictures of what it looked like to sit in the chair, what the bread was like, what the juice was like. And so this is an example of one that I created specifically for a very single church and a family in this church. But the story was universally helpful for others in the church as well, right? It was, this is how we do communion in our church. And the idea of social stories and the use of them is universally helpful. So there are a lot of great places now who are coming up with these resources in a way that is printable, that is kind of plug and play. So you simply download it, print it, and off you go. Or you can simply use it on your screen and flip through it and show someone. And so some of these are available from resources like Simply the Gospel. It's an organization that's serving churches with resources. Their templates are for purchase to download, and you can customize them with the real pictures from within your church context. What I like about it is that they have a one-page version that's sort of the words with the text, but then they also have a half-page version that's a big picture and big words, so two different options to choose from, both of them customizable. They also have some kind of more plug-and-play ones that are more like an animated picture, rather than a personalized real picture. But some other organizations have different versions of this as well. Awe and Wonder is a great set of resources. They have a library of things also for purchase to download so that you can print and use it. So they're using just a sort of infographic kind of picture with some words. But they do have some editable options which you can use and put in real pictures as well. So a couple of great resources just to tell you what's out there. You don't have to make this up yourself. There are wonderful organizations who are creating these and templates for you to use. There's one by an organization called Known International that I want to show you. So this one is not necessarily customized. It's just you can download this and print it for free. And so they say, when I go to church, I will have fun with friends and learn about Jesus. When I get to church, I will say bye to mom and dad and go to Sunday school. During Sunday school, I can sing songs with my friends. I will sit and listen to stories about Jesus. If I have something to say, I will raise my hand. And if I get overwhelmed, I will say, I need a break, please. Now, I love this because their language is person first, right? So it's the person who's reading the story who's going to identify these things. It's giving behavior expectations, and it's also setting them up for what can happen. So if I need a break, I can say so, and then there will be an opportunity to take a break, and there's a system in place for that. So I'm just trying to illustrate to you, there are some versions out there that you can utilize. You don't have to create this yourself, and they're a great tool to be used that can help kids all across the board. There are ways to do this for just engaging in church or for that youth group overnight or so many different scenarios. But it's a great tool to use. And so I want to think some more about those people, our shredded cheese people, who are the ones who are committed to creating belonging with the people of all abilities. And so as we shift to talking about equipping our volunteers and our leaders, and I am thinking specifically about what does it look like to equip people with universal design principles. And so what I want to share with you is some organizations and some resources of people who are learning about what's working and what's not and what could be improved in your space, right? The shredded cheese people are the ones who are thinking about what's working well, what do we need to change, what do we need to update. They might have experience with disability themselves or background in education. I've already mentioned how helpful it can be to have someone who is, for example, an occupational therapist, someone with maybe a medical background have on hand. There are all kinds of people who may already be in your community who can be this shredded cheese, but they can also just be a consultant for your community. So they may not be the ones who are consistently your volunteers or your leaders, but they can inform you and help you to think about what needs to be in place or how to make improvements on what's in place. And I also want to encourage you that there are organizations you can lean on for this. And so some that that have been places where I've done some teaching and that I've also learned a great deal from are the International Network of Children's Ministry. Now, they put on a conference in the United States every year called the Children's Pastors Conference. And so if you're in children's ministry or if you're trying to equip those who are, that's a phenomenal resource. And the International Network of Children's Ministry has great resources. They have been able to lean into, quite a bit of this idea of universal design and just thinking for kids with disabilities to be a part of things. So look into some of their resources. A couple other ones I want to mention are WIF Ministries. They're going to come up several times throughout this course, and they actually house the resources if you wanted to buy a copy of, for example, Barb's book, Worship as One, Varied Abilities in the Body of Christ. But they are all about equipping congregations to be places of belonging, so highly encourage you to look into them. But one other one that I want to talk about really quickly is called Nathaniel's Hope. They have a program called Buddy Break, and I've actually partnered with them and done some webinars, and I'm really excited about what they do because Buddy Break is a respite program. So they train people to be able to say, yes, we want you to bring your child with disabilities here, and so we will care for that child and do fun activities with that child. Will you, as a family, go and take a break and do something different besides caregiving? And so that's called Buddy Break, and they equip churches to do this Buddy Break. But what they're also doing is they're presenting churches an opportunity, and they equip people with this Buddy Break training. And so now through that Buddy Break training, those volunteers are equipped to have a little bit of expertise in working with kids with disabilities. That training is what can help them to now also do this well in your worship services, in your Sunday school hour, in your VBS, right? That training is really helpful for them. They've gained some comfort, they've gained some experience working with kids with disabilities. So if you're looking to equip your volunteers and your leaders, those are a couple great places to go. With Ministries and Nathaniel's Hope, particularly their Buddy Break training. And I would just suggest that you browse the website of the Disability Ministry Network. That is a network of organizations who are all serving congregations who desire to have people with disabilities be at the forefront of the voice of this initiative and to say, you know what, we need to be places of belonging where people with disabilities are a part of everything that we do. And so there are organizations coming at that from different avenues and different experiences. Some are denominational heads, some are resource ministries like WIF Ministries or Nathaniel's Hope, others are direct service providers. And so there's a great variety on there, but I just encourage you to look at that website to notice how much is available to help you be equipped as a congregation, as a ministry leader, as a faith community member who simply is just not alone in this. There are great resources out there. So I want you to know that there are things out there and people excited to help you think about this. So be equipped. Now, I also just want to talk to you a little bit about... Now I want to talk to you about a few more universal design ideas, and so let's just go through these a little bit more in depth and see what I'm talking about. So one of them is just thinking about how you prepare your spaces. We talked about providing options, right? So thinking about the way that you want kids to engage with things, are you providing the options that help them to choose to do that? So do you have one-on-one spaces? Do you have tables where they can do some of the maybe hands-on activities? Do they have enough space to maneuver? Can they choose to use technology? Do you have opportunities for quiet versus opportunities for group interaction? So just thinking about how you prepare your spaces, I think, is a really helpful place as you're thinking about that idea of being prepared for kids with disabilities to be a part of this, so offering options with your spaces. I also want you to think about providing options for your seating, right? So whether you have chairs that have a back and or have arms, or a chair that rocks, or a chair with a wiggle cushion and some TheraBand on it that provides a little bit of movement and something to kick against, whether you have seating that is a wiggly stool that allows for kids to move around, or a beanbag that's a completely different kind of seating experience, or these parking spots is what they're called. They're large carpet squares that a child's body can sit on it, but now they don't cover up the whole thing once they've sat down over it, like so many of our circle carpets can, or even our small carpet squares, or, you know, if we say, go sit on your colored dot, well, as soon as the child sits on it, their body covers it up, and now they don't know where the boundary is of what's their space or not. So having something that's big enough that they can still see the boundary of it around them, even while they're sitting on it, is just a beautiful way of offering a new option. And so that's if they're sitting on the floor. How about sitting on an exercise ball, like I've brought up before? And so this is often called flexible seating, but the idea is just that you offer options and kids can choose what works for them to engage. Now, mind you, it's not a question of, do you want to engage in the activity or go sit in the beanbag? It's a question of, where would you like to sit in order to participate in this, right? So you're offering the options, but not the option to not participate. And so you get to set the boundaries, but offer the options for the children to choose. So flexible seating is one of these things that is a great example of universal design, because you're offering lots of different options. You can offer structure to your space, as I've already said, about your location and the room that you're in, but you can also structure it in ways that you might not be realizing. So for example, if you're sitting on a stool, you have no back, that's very little structure. Or if you're sitting on the floor, there's very little structure. If you sit on a chair, now you have something under you as well as maybe something behind you. If you put arms on that chair, it has structure on three sides. If you push that chair up against a table, now you have structure on four sides. So you're really engaging in different levels of the amount of structure you're providing. So think about that as you prepare your space and what you're asking kids to engage in doing, so that you're providing the proper amount of structure. You can even structure time, and we will talk about this several times over this course, that time is a tricky thing, and so providing structure for it is really, really helpful. So visual schedules, like has been mentioned already, and a timer, and I love this timer that actually has a little whiteboard with it, so you can say what is happening during that time, and then when the time runs out, you can write a new message on the whiteboard and change the timer and start all again. Or a visual schedule that's much more like paired with words and has something that can actually be moved. So this is what we're doing now, this is what we're going to do next, and maybe you have a child who's the one that moves that marker from the one thing to the next thing. So a visual schedule that's really interactive can be helpful. Again, helps them to know this is where we are in time right now. And a timer of some sort, like this traffic light timer, can be another way of talking about it, so that when the light is green, you have a lot of time, kind of nothing to worry about, just keep going on the activity. When it turns yellow or is flashing yellow, that's telling you that we're almost out of time, wrap up what you're doing. And when it's red, you're out of time, it's time to end that activity. And so for some kids, that's an easier way of thinking about the time they have left. But all these ideas are just ways that you can structure something, even as sort of nebulous as time. And I want to encourage you that offering structure can be extremely helpful. So you can structure your materials as well. Sometimes the visual overwhelm of looking at materials can be what's causing non-participation. And so you can just add some color to the background. You can have these, it's a bookmark-shaped thing called an EZC reader, literally the letters EZC reader, and it's the size of a bookmark, and it just has a little colored strip that you can see through that kind of highlights one line of text, and they're really helpful to structure what it is you're looking at when you're reading just one line of text. For those who might get frustrated about coloring and they're not sure which lines they're supposed to stay within, highlight the line that you want them to focus on if you're talking about Joseph's beautiful coat. Just add the color right there for them to focus on that part of the picture, right? Or this other beautiful stuff known as highlighter tape. If you're using a lot of highlighting, this stuff is a magical substance that will highlight something. It's a piece of tape that you can see through, and it will peel right off of even a Bible page without tearing anything. It's just wonderful stuff. So now that highlighting comes off, and you can remove it and put it on something else, or move it to the next place or just remove it in general so that it doesn't stay there forever. You can highlight something and then take the highlighting away. It's wonderful. So these are all just a few ways of adding structure to the actual paper materials that you might be working with. But the idea is you prepare adaptations, right? You're giving options. Always giving those options. And I like to encourage people to think of offering instead of. So if this doesn't work for you, maybe this will instead. So that might be, you know, we're engaging with the Bible story by reading it and singing songs, but that might not work for this individual. And so they're going to need a real object in order to connect with it. So if we're talking about measuring in cubits, and that's a really hard thing for us to think about. What are we talking about when we measure it was 50 cubits wide? Well, maybe you have a cubit measuring stick to talk about that, and or you make one and you say it's the length of your elbow to the tips of your fingers, and that's a cubit. And so we're going to make a cubit measuring stick, and we're going to measure 50 of them, right? So you have real stuff to work with. Or maybe you get bricks to talk about when you're talking about the furnace, right? So you have real bricks to work with. But they need tangible things in order to connect with the Bible story or whatever it is that you're connecting with. So having some real stuff in place can actually be extremely valuable for a lot of kiddos and helps all of us to learn better. The other thing I would suggest is have people in place for those adaptations. So again, that shredded cheese person, or maybe we're actually talking about more like a buddy or an assistant, a sidekick, just someone who knows that individual well, who can be right alongside and say, oh, you know what, cutting that out is going to really be a challenge, so why don't I help by, and they'll know exactly what to do, right? Or asking the individual, hey, is this working for you, or can I help in some way? So not doing things necessarily for the individual, but coming alongside them and knowing that individual well and just being able to partner. So having people in place is extremely helpful. So these are just some ways that you can be prepared in that kind of thinking about doing things in advance. And you've heard us already talking about how many visuals are extremely helpful. And so when we talk about how Jesus taught, right, he used a lot of visuals and ways to show our praise for God, ways to engage with him in his word. And so I love thinking about following the example of the good teacher and using visuals. And as you can tell, I use a lot of visuals in what I'm talking about. So I have all these pictures for you to see while I'm teaching instead of just my words, because I want you to follow along. So some ways you can use visuals. For example, when you tell a child your voice is too loud and you need to tone it down a little, can you make that visual? Well, kids are pretty familiar sometimes with a remote control or a volume button. And so you can say, we're going to turn down the volume until your voice level matches mine, and then that's our acceptable level. But by using that object, that visual item, you've given them something to pay attention to that helps them to have a connection to it and to know how to monitor that. So that can be really helpful. A traffic light, again, I know I keep kind of coming back to this, but an interrupt. When you tell kids to stop interrupting me, so often kids are very confused about what is an interrupt. And so someone described it to me as it's like a traffic lane. And so when I have a green light, it's my turn to use my words. That means you have a red light and your words are not coming right now. And then when the light changes, when you have a green light, then my words will stop so that we don't crash into each other. Because when our words bump into each other and cause a crash, that's an interrupt or an interruption. And so having a talking traffic light so that you could have it on green or on red to indicate for the children, right, that their words are on red right now, your words are on green, you get to go so that you don't have a traffic interruption, right? So these kinds of concepts. Again, that idea of making time visual with a time timer or another tool like that. And this is the idea of, can you take pictures of things and show what it's like? So I always think about cleanup time, and visuals are a huge help at cleanup time. When I've just instructed everyone to start to clean up, and what my version of clean looks like can be very different than what their version of clean might look like, depending on their mood and prerogative and what's happening next. And so I've learned to just take a picture of what it looks like when it's clean. In fact, I have also noticed that it can be helpful to have a picture of the item that goes in that place. And that really helps everybody to know what goes there, what it looks like when it's all clean and put together. And in fact, I had a church tell me, you know, this is really helpful for our hospitality team. We have a coffee making station, and we're constantly trying to make sure that people put things back in the correct places and even know our processes. And so now they have pictures of, this is where the coffee creamer is, this is where the sugar is, this is how much coffee to put in. And it's amazing. The cupboards have stayed organized and everybody's excited now. So visuals help things stay clean, and it can be really helpful for a lot of us in children's ministry and beyond. So these have just been a few different ideas, and you've heard from Barb, you've heard from me about some ways that children and youth ministry can take advantage of this idea of universal design for worship and being prepared in advance, expecting that kids with varied abilities will need a little bit of support in place, and here's some examples of supports you can use. So coming up next, we are going to talk about universal design in our worship context, meaning our corporate worship settings, and I'm excited to talk with you more about that in the next segment.